Right, good evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are in the world, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in for the next hour. As you know, we're streaming everywhere, so whether you're over on the Getters, whether you are on the Twitters, Facebooks, YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey, blah, 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 wherever you are, anyway, you're all very welcome. And I just thought, before I start into this, I want to thank everybody who came up and spoke with me over the weekend when I was in Kegworth at the comedy and political event. And that was a really good time was had by me and hopefully by you as well. And I know it just shows you, it's interesting. There are people who watch all this stuff in real life, and they come along to see me in real life. So it was lovely to see you, and thanks again for all your kind words. I mean, I put up a picture on my Twitter earlier. One of the highlights of the weekend, I'll talk to our special guest about this in a moment as well, was I interviewed Right Said Fred, Richard and Fred Fairbrass, on stage. And I saw for an hour long interview, by the way. And I saw a photograph of the three of us. And actually, I'm the missing Fred, because I've got exactly the same hairstyle as indeed has our special guest for being in that band. But anyway, great guys, fantastic people and whatnot. Aloha, Donnie girl, John. Now, what I need to do before we bring our guest on, let me just jump across, as I always do, into the Getterverse, just so I can see the all your comments over there as well. Take that away, and a couple of clicks, and just like that, we are. I'm seeing. I can now see everything over there as well. Right, folks. So as I say, yeah. So it's been a busy couple of days. But I'm glad to be back to terra firma. And we have an interesting week of stuff lined up, and next week as well. Lots of stuff in the pipeline. So without further ado, I think one of the big themes that I was chatting about over the weekend was in the light of people's kind of disgust at Big Pharma, in the light of people's confidence in GPs being completely broken, totally broken, and yet we still have to concern ourselves with our health. You know, I mean, health is still important to us all. But what do you do? How do you look after yourself in 2023? Well, there's no better guy to be able to talk to you about this than one of our regulars, actually. He's on this platform reasonably frequently, and I'm delighted that this is going to be the first and hopefully not the last time he'll be on with us in 2023. So without further ado, please welcome David McCollum to the stream. Hi, David.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, so I mean, actually, you and I could be a tribute act to the Right Said Fred, because we got the necessary, you know, we are ringers for them.
I have a little story to tell you about that when I see you on Friday.
Tell me all about it then, right. So listen, so the story, oh, hi, Jason, Kim, Donnie, John, all the folks, thank you very much for being here. David, so as I said at the start of this one, a lot of people are in the same camp. A lot of, like, ordinary people, not people with your expertise in the background, but a lot of people have gone through a few years, and they were all probably normies before this. Hi, Blitzer, by the way, good to see you. They were normies before this. They sort of thought, yeah, we go with the GP, we go with, you know, what the tablet for this, vaccine for that. That was then. Now in 2023, we're going, whoa, no, stay the hell away from us. But we still got to manage our health. And you know, as I said at the start of this, David, we don't want to do it with a needle, and we don't want to do it with a tablet. So tell us, what would your advice be in terms of how all of us pure bloods, can I say that term? Yes. How can us pure bloods, how can we take best care of ourselves?
I suppose we really have to reflect on what happened in the last couple of years. You know, look at who most likely was going to end up in hospital if they contracted COVID. And it tended to be those people who had, obviously, that elderly cohort over the 70, 80 age group. But really, the other cohort of people that ended up taking up the greatest amount of space in the hospital were those who already had underlying metabolic diseases and disorders.
Yeah.
So you think about it, people who suffer with obesity, quite often they will have diabetes that goes with that. And that definitely was one of the cohorts that had the greatest mortality and ended up with weakest immune systems. So, you know, Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food.
Yeah.
So we don't get our immune system out of a syringe. Our immune system depends on our genetics. It depends on how our genetics interact with our environment, with our diet, etc. You know, just because you have a genetic predisposition to a certain condition doesn't automatically mean that that will manifest. You can manipulate your genes, what we call these single nucleotide polymorphisms, by supporting our genes through the correct and healthy diet and the right sorts of supplements.
Yeah.
So it always begins with what you put into your mouth. You know, you know, Hippocrates also believed all disease originates in the gut. Now, I wouldn't say all disease, but I would say a good 90% of those people that you see on a regular basis at the GP surgery will be there with chronic degenerative diseases caused by two things: chronic subclinical inflammation and by reactions to what we call hyperinsulinemia and insulin resistance. So what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Well, the modern diet today does not bear any resemblance to what it was 150 years ago. You know, your average mid-Victorian, for example, was easily consuming 7 to 10 portions a day of organic fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
So fruit and vegetables grown using, you know, manure from animals, not with fertilizers like NPK. The average mid-Victorian was consuming high levels of omega-3 rich fish, you know, so all those oily fish were very cheap and abundant back in mid-Victorian times because a lot of the poor people couldn't afford meat.
Yeah.
So their staple diet would have been based on, you know, the fruits and vegetables in season, which were organically grown. It would have been based on lots of polyphenol rich foods, lots of omega-3 rich fish. They were also very physically active. You know, the average person burnt, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day. So what where are we at today, 150 years later? We're sedentary. We don't consume much in the way of omega-3 fats and from oily fish because it's particularly hard to get good quality fish these days. And if you live in the UK, a lot of those good oily fish have been taken by the EU as part of their pre-deck before Brexit. And after Brexit, they're still stealing all our oily fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to the supermarkets today and you're paying the same price for your fish as you're paying for steak. So omega-3s help regulate inflammation in the body. So we need to have a, you know, a sufficient 2,500 milligrams of omega-3s. It's unlikely you're going to get it purely from diet. You probably have to supplement, as you know yourself.
Yeah.
And taking the right sorts of fish oils has a big effect on inflammation. Polyphenols, which are special antioxidants that are found in your fruits, vegetables, and spices, there's over 4,000 polyphenols. Not only do they have an antioxidant effect, so they act to reduce the rusting processes that occur in our body, but they also help regulate some of the pro-inflammatory enzymes like COX-1, COX-2, Lipox-5, and Lipox-8. They also impact on cytokines. So all of these inflammation markers can be significantly reduced by increasing our intake of fruits and vegetables rich in polyphenols. That also includes things like dark chocolate and early pre-harvest olive oil. It's important to get your omega-3s through supplementation. That's a good place to start. But it's also the other things that we consume. So at the beginning of the 20th century, they started pushing margarine instead of butter as a cheap alternative to butter. But the problem is that margarines are made from omega-6 fats, which are liquid in their natural state. So that's things like sunflower oil. In order to turn that into a margarine, you have to use a process called hydrogenation or partial hydrogenation. You bubble hydrogen through the oil to stiffen it, convert it to margarine. The problem is our body cannot use margarines. We do not have the right enzymes to fit into the lock and key system on these fats, which we call trans fats. And omega-6s ultimately produce high levels of inflammation.
So omega-3s
are anti-inflammatory and they support brain function. So your brain's mainly fat and your DHA from your omega-3 supports healthy brain function and inflammation in the brain as well. Omega-6 fats, which are your polyunsaturated fats that make your margarines and are found in your buns, biscuits, cakes, breads and spreads, they create inflammation. So that's one of the things that has a significant effect on your body's immune response. Mm-hmm. The second thing is we consume so much refined carbohydrates. You know, when someone's eating a potato, a slice of bread, whatever, when it's broken down and digested, it ends up as a simple sugars. Now, if you go back thousands and thousands of years ago, when we were hunters and gatherers, the only time that we were able to come across sugar was really in those summer months where we would have eaten in abundance. So we've only got one hormone that works in our body for storage, and that's insulin. Mm-hmm. So the idea in prehistoric times was you gorged yourself during the summer because you knew that times in the winter were lean. So it was actually an advantage to store fat and to store energy and fat as a concentrated fuel source.
Yeah.
But we didn't have 24/7 24/7 access to refined carbohydrates and sugars. And this whole idea, Dr. Seema Malhotra has brought up many times about the cholesterol myth and the cholesterol con. You know, the cholesterol really isn't the thing that causes heart disease, but it's actually hyperinsulinemia. It's consuming far too much refined sugars that causes our body to produce more and more insulin, and eventually our cells and our liver and our muscles stop listening to those signals, and you start to accumulate more fat, sugar being converted to fat in the adipose tissue. And then those fat cells then start producing even more inflammation. So you get even more insulin resistance and even more inflammation, and that's what's overwhelming our immune system. So add into that, what are they putting in our water? You know, certain in America, they're big in trying to fluoridate water. The whole idea of fluoridation, apparently, they say, is because it'll help reduce your cavities, keep your teeth strong. The sort of fluoride that's added to water, sodium fluoride, is not the form of fluoride found in its natural form. Therefore, it does not have the same benefits. It actually is highly toxic, particularly toxic to the brain. You know, that's why the Germans used it in the sort of the Czech republics and the Balkan states during World War II. To suppress, because fluoride when it's given in your water suppresses your ability to react and fight back.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the reasons why they want to fluoridate the water. So we always begin looking at diet. You know, what is it you're putting in here? What is it you're lacking? And what is it that you're putting in that has considerable effect in depressing your immune system? And you also have to remember, 70% of your immune system is gut mediated. It's called your mucosal and gut associated lymphoid tissue.
Yeah.
So that is your first line of defense against any infections. Now, if you're putting in a diet that's high in these PUVAs, these seed oils, these margarines, and a diet high in refined carbohydrates, that includes things like white bread and sugar and potatoes and bars of chocolate and whatever, that feeds pathogenic microorganisms and fungi and yeast in our gut to produce toxins that weaken our immune system. Whereas if we eat naturally sourced foods, what will happen is that we can support our microbiome, the bacteria that lives within our gut. So, you know, there's been several studies came out from the beginning of COVID showing the relationship between certain species of bacteria and our immune system. You know, if you have high levels of bifidobacteria, that really supports your immune system. High levels of verrucal microbia, like Akkermansia and Mucinophila, that controls the mucus layer in the gut, that has a profound effect on both our metabolic state and our immune state. Certain bacteria that produce short-chain fatty acids, like Fecalibacterium prysnitzii, Eubacterium rectale. They produce beneficial short-chain fatty acids that keep our gut wall and keep our gut cells really healthy and well and keep our immune system strong. Lactobacillus bacteria that you'll get in really decent quality probiotic drinks like kefir. The kefir is a really good sort of probiotic fermented food that will keep your gut healthy. All fermented foods, if you don't have a reaction to histamine in foods, fermented foods are really good for keeping your microbiome healthy and strong and helping you fight off infections.
I mean, another good way to keep your microbiome healthy by having effective bacteria in it, of course, is to buy oats has been around a long time in human history. Like, they go back a long time. And when you put oats and things like fruits and nuts and probiotics together and put that in a little sort of breakfast pot, again, I mean, these are simple things that people can do. And there is a product, by the way, which we will, I don't know if we can bring it up, Nothing But, which is a product which is accessible to people. But it is about, Dave, there's a lot of comments. I want to just go rattle some comments at you. We've got a student homeopath here who's saying more and more people are asking for help. We've got Jim saying we need to go back eating like we did in Victorian times, to your point, David. We've got Northern Monkey saying a homeopathic practitioner taught me candida is the root of all problems some times ago. Someone says, Brookie says, also in some cases of cancers. I mean, it is really, really, really fascinating. People get all this. Jason saying fermented, he hadn't heard of that. Well, look at that. Donnie Gerrard says,
so in terms of fermented foods, you're looking at things like your yogurts. Now, obviously, try and not buy commercial yogurts. Try and buy someone who maybe cultures their own yogurts, because they'll have far higher levels of probiotics in that. There's one particular, there's a company called Eat Kimchi, based in London. Robert's a lovely guy. He makes his own kimchi sauerkraut. He makes his own fermented yogurt from coconut called, with a special bacteria called Lactobacillus reuteri, which is very good for the immune system, helps increase production of skin peptides, keeps you looking younger, helps enhance your oxytocin levels, which allows you to have more compassion, which I think probably for some of us pure bloods, it's been hard to go through what we've went through and been shunned and disparaged and called all sorts of names. But we still have to have some level of forgiveness in us at a certain level. But we can't, you know, I can forgive people for, I can forgive people for being misled. But we have to learn to think for ourselves. You know, in the last 2.5 years, that's how we met 2 years ago in Facebook. You put up some stats. I reached out to you. We've become best friends.
Yeah.
And we talked through all of this stuff, you know. And I always, you know, I've been banned. I've had 9 30-day Facebook bans for trying to speak the truth. And everything I have put out has always been completely validated through statistics or research. And I always had the caveat that you don't have to believe me, but please get off your backside and go and do your own research. And one of the things that really annoys me, you know, I'm a trained physio, and I went and retrained as a naturopath. I've specialized in gut health for many years. One of the things that really annoyed me is when you have these people coming out, oh, you're a Google doctor. Where do you think people access information today? Where do you think PubMed articles are?
Yep.
It's on the internet. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Just a quick plug. This product here, by the way, available in the UK. It's my daughter's product, and it's doing some of the stuff that David talks about, whereby supporting your own well-being naturally. But David, that's fine. Take that off the screen now. But Nothing But, there you go. Nothing But goodness. David, you're right though. It's simple things that we need to do to take control. I wonder, do I speak for plenty of other people out there? I used to think that, well, the doctors can sort me out because they know, they're trained in all of these things. And you and I have been friends now for a couple of years. And I've learned more from you in 2 years than I'd learned in previous decades from so-called GP experts who know, in my opinion, very, very little that's relevant to me that doesn't involve big pharma.
The thing is, during a GP's training of 6 years, I think they get 6 hours training on nutrition.
6 hours. Yeah.
Now, that may have increased slightly. But they are taught to treat symptoms by giving you tablets that switch off the symptom. So you're driving your car and the red lights start flashing on the dash. You don't take it to your mechanic and say, oh, please switch off the red lights. It's annoying the bugging the hell out of me.
Yeah.
You'll take it there. The guy will plug you into the diagnostic. He says, oh, your spark plugs need changing. This here's not working, blah, blah, blah. So you replace the bits. And it's not obviously as easy with a human being to just go in and replace bits and pieces. And in fact, that's another thing that annoys me. You know, the number of people that have ended up getting things like their appendix removed unnecessarily, getting their gallbladder removed unnecessarily. Everything that is in our body exists as a courtesy to everything else. Our body works holistically. We don't work in separate disparate systems. You know, our nervous system works with our musculoskeletal system, works with our gastrointestinal system, works with our endocrine system. Everything works together. And allopathic medicine is set up to look at our body as being made up of distinct systems. And when you eventually get to see, like I was talking to Jed earlier, he was talking about having to go and get his knee checked out that he's been waiting 3 years for. And he'll go along and it could be another year before he sees, you know, after he sees the consultant before they even do anything, or 2 years.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so say someone had heart-like symptoms, they go along to the cardiologist and he can't find out what's causing it. Now, that heart-related symptoms like the palpitations could be coming from something as simple as having, you know, electrolyte imbalances or mineral imbalances. You know, one of the side effects of drugs that reduce stomach acid, PPI drugs, is to reduce absorption of minerals like magnesium and calcium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that causes heart arrhythmias. But you go into the doctor, he probably wouldn't even think of putting the two and two together. You know,
No.
Like if you go to a gastroenterologist and you've got gut-related problems, like bear in mind, one out of every eight people on the planet struggles with a condition or a diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, which is just a blanket term for, you know, bloating, cramping, wind, constipation, diarrhea. Now, when you go along to your doctor, what does he do? Well, sometimes you'll get this IBS and it'll cause heartburn. Oh, you must have too much stomach acid. Have a PPI drug to block it. Well, once you get over the age of 40, the majority of people who have heartburn symptoms is quite the contrary. They quite often have low stomach acid. And if they have irritable bowel syndrome and they're getting a lot of fermentation in their gut due to a condition called SIBO, where you get bacterial overgrowth, the more gases that are produced, the more your stomach contents are forced into your esophagus, causing your heartburn symptoms. Your GP wouldn't put those two together.
No.
The thing that got me as well is the first cohort that, apart from the older generation, the first cohort of people that they foisted these mRNA injections on were the people with cancer and the people with autoimmune diseases.
Yeah, that's right.
So two massive cohorts of people who are immune compromised, and you're sticking in a genetically modifying, experimental use medicine to go in there to produce a spike protein. And the spike protein will always end up binding on to the weakest parts in your body. That's why in some people they ended up with clotting disorders. Some people ended up with kidney disorders. One thing's pretty common, a lot of them are downregulated receptor sites in cell called toll-like receptor sites, which control viruses in the body. So suddenly you're seeing all these people getting shingles.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then the next thing you know, 2 months later, and they were advertising on TV, 90% of people will get, you know, shingles in their lifetime, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hold on a second. I think I've seen 3 cases of shingles in 20-something years. And now it's, as soon as they ran out the mRNA vaccines, you're getting people with Bell's palsies, with shingles, and all these latent viruses waking up. People who were in remission for years with cancers, suddenly they went from being in remission to being in stage 4 in a month.
Yeah.
Because the toll-like receptor sites are downregulated, the tumor necrosis factors, the interferon, all depressed. Their CD4, CD8 killer cells, all depressed, and suddenly nothing to contain the cancer anymore, and the cancer just rampant and rife.
Yeah, let me just stop you on that one, and I want to just a little bit on that particular bit, because in the past couple of weeks, David, I've spoken to a lot of people who have been in contact with me, because as I talk about these things, and I've heard story after story, and I think these are authentic stories from people who are telling me basically kind of what you just said. Their aunt, their uncle, their brother, their mother, father, whatever it was, they maybe had some sort of like a mild cancer and everything was fine, or they're in remission or whatever, you know, as much as you can be. And then all of a sudden, boom, 3 or 4, 6 weeks, gone, absolutely gone. And I've heard a lot of these stories, and I don't think I'm the only person that's getting this, because we keep hearing, David, we've told you and I have talked about the turbo cancers. But that kind of speaks to the point you've just made in terms of how these experimental gene therapies impact on our body, our systems.
And it's not just that. We talk, and as a naturopath, we talk about your xenobiotic load, okay? Mm-hmm. Xeno means foreign, okay?
Yeah.
So what loads, you know, our detoxification mechanisms in our body were designed to work in a different way at a different time. That's why you only had 10% of the cancer in Mifepristone times that you had now. You know, we didn't have all these chemicals. Like, there's a guy called Dr. Ben Lynch, who probably is the authority on sort of looking into you know, genetic polymorphisms and the effect of the environment and foods and stuff on that. And he said, like, even some children are born with over 200 chemicals in their body as soon as they're born. Most of us could be exposed to over a million different chemicals, you know, from, you've got your air fresheners and you've got your wee things there, and then you've got your washing liquid and your, what you wash your clothes in, and, you know, what they're putting in the water to clean the water. And one of the big ones that's really going to impact hugely on our health are the chemtrails. Now, it's amazing how many people I talk to, that's just airplane. I said, look, a contrail, you watch a plane go by, you see the exhaust vapor from the plane, 10 minutes later, it's gone. You look up the clear blue sky, like my friend Eddie put up a picture this morning, 20 chemtrails on the air above his house. And he went on flight radar, and there was no flights.
Mm-hmm. So where was radar. Who was doing it?
So, yeah. You know, they're going around and they are seeding our environment. Goodness knows what bacterial toxins, heavy metals, toxic metals, whatever it is they're putting in. I know over the last 2 years, there was several months during the summer where so many people were reaching out to me who were having hay fever symptoms. We never had hay fever before. Now, it wasn't just because there was more pollen about. Yeah. Although, you know, I know they were letting grasses and stuff grow a bit longer, but I think it was what they were spraying up here.
Mm.
And that's what, you know, so what we're getting spread on our food, you know, one of the most obvious things is glyphosate, which is the key chemical in Roundup.
Yeah,
and it is spread on all, you know, those arable plants, wheat, all those grains. And, you know, when Monsanto actually patented it, they patented Roundup as both a weed killer and as an antibiotic. But the thing is, it's an antibiotic that only kills the good bacteria in your gut. And that's what we're up against. So apart, you know, so if people are buying their fruits and vegetables, and it's not quite so easy here, but ideally you want to be buying organic. But I think in the UK, organic is just a term that adds a 20% value to the price that you're paying. Now, I've lived in Spain for 3 years. And I had a friend, there was a wee farm beside us, grew organic fruits and vegetables. And when you taste genuine organic fruit and vegetables grown with animal manure, the taste was incredible. So we're buying all these foods, they're spread with all these chemicals. I have a machine at home, it's called a Kangen water ionizer. I bought it 11 years ago. Well, that one of the settings in that allows, so if I buy tomatoes or buy any fruit, what I do is I put it and I immerse it in pH, the water at the pH of 11.5. If you put tomatoes in there and you take them out 20 minutes later, the water is pure yellow. So all of those fruits and vegetables, where a lot of the polyphenols and antioxidants are in the skins,
yeah,
and we consume those because we should do, we're also consuming all those surface pesticides, insecticides, fungicides that are spread on there. So you can imagine the burden of toxins that our body's having to deal with that it didn't have to deal with 150 years ago.
No, absolutely.
From the air, in the water, on our food. And that's not even talking about the processed foods, the high level of sugar we consume, the high level of seed oils, which use extreme chemicals to extract them and process them. You know, so, you know, as I said, we have to look after our gut. Anybody who has irritable bowel syndrome symptoms, that can then go on to cause further problems. Everyone who has an autoimmune condition will have what we call a leaky gut. So the food that they're going in, certain elements of it will be triggering off some of the symptoms, whether it's lupus, psoriasis, eczema, multiple sclerosis, that will all affect the gut. So if anyone has irritable bowel syndrome, it's not autoimmune conditions, they have to look to the gut. But and those people with IBS, they have to be thinking, well, you know, if they've got brain fog, fatigue, skin problems, look at the gut. We always look to the food and to the gut. And saying there's obviously things that we can do to support our liver for detoxification. We have to support the good bacteria in there by eating the right sorts of prebiotic fibers, which is the fibers found in fruits and vegetables. But we also have to make sure that we're removing as many of these toxins. So the water that I drink is really clean. Now, for some people, what you want to do is either put in a whole of house water filter system. That will remove 99% of a lot of these toxins. Because a lot of the water that we get, it's not just by drinking the water. It's when we go showering. It's when we wash our face. Because our skin absorbs that water. When you're in the shower and your mouth's lying open, all that water. So you really... So, you know, and if you can't afford a whole of house water system, then get a shower head that can remove a lot of the toxins, because that's where we consume a lot of these toxic waters. And again, if we go back to bottled water, so if you're buying bottled water, soft plastic bottles, obviously it's high in BPA and BHT, which are hormone disruptors. This is one of the reasons why we're saying, another reason, apart from we know these mRNA vaccines are going to reduce fertility rate.
Yeah.
But these hormone disruptors significantly reduce men's ability to produce sperm, and that's why we're seeing a rapidly declining world population. Old Bill Gates said it in 2016 in his TED talk. He said the greatest threat to this planet is we've got too many people, but we'll soon sort that out with a really good women's healthcare program and a really good vaccination program.
Which is delivered. David, I wanted to acknowledge a point that over in Getter, I see Gallo Gala said. She says, my ex-husband had the booster, 3 months later dead with aggressive lymphatic cancer, no previous cancer. I'm sorry about that, Gallo girl. Unfortunately, you know, your experience is...
Tell Gallo girl, and my mum got cancer as well. Now, thankfully, she's done well, responded well to the treatment that she's had. But it's just, it came close to home to me, and it really, because none of my family would accept what I said, that the potential dangers of getting these boosters would be. My father has skin cancers, and his skin has gone crazy over this last year and a half with the boosters he's taken. And he, you know, look, 84 and 81, they're going to make their own decisions. It's just as heartbreaking to see it happen, knowing what I know and knowing. Yeah, you know, coincidence doesn't equal causality. But when there's that many elephants in the room and there's people dropping like flies, little estate in our village, and I live in a small village. We were driving up through the village there. There was somebody who was buried at the church and was going up to the top of the village. There's a wee housing estate with about 40 houses. And that's the fourth wake I've seen in 6 months.
Yeah. Well,
and
this is
a small village.
Yeah, but see, David, this is a global thing that we're experiencing. And I can see our friend Republican Rocker over in the States there saying, you know, that my trust with physicians has been shattered. And that's straight talking says, these are just different ordinary people. I don't trust, this is another guy, I don't trust the doctor or anyone from the NHS anymore. And this was reinforced to me over the weekend. I met hundreds of people and they are all absolutely wanting to take control of their health, but they're not going to do it the way that they've been told to do it. They're moving away, essentially, you know, from the Rothschild model. It's just not, you know, what they want. And that's a curious plus of the COVID tyranny, which you and I say, we met during it, we fought our way through it. But one of the pluses about it is, I think, David, there's loads and loads, millions of people probably, and certainly lots of people on this stream who will listen and watch this and hear this, who are looking to people like you for advice and guidance. And this is, which I think is great, because in a way we're going back to first principles. It's big pharma will not have a pill for every ill. Well, what is it they say? You know, a customer cured is a patient cured is a customer lost. So this is where I think the area, David, that you've specialized in and that you and I chat about so much, I actually do think it is fundamentally crucial for the future. Now, it mightn't be 100% of society go with it, but more fool them that don't. Because have they not learned anything over the past couple of years? Lots of comments I see about the chemtrails, by the way. Wendy Graham, I see your comments there. You counted 17 chemtrails last Thursday morning. I see Jason also. So, yeah, so David, I mean, you know, we're amongst our people here. They see it. They see the world as we do.
So, you know, in America, the FDA is trying to clamp down on people's ability to procure natural vitamins, minerals, and certain herbs because they know they work without side effects. You know, if you look at the last 20 years, the number of people who might die of an adverse reaction to a vitamin, 20, 30 people. Now, by comparison, the third leading cause of death in America prior to the COVID mRNA vaccines was either medical malfeasance or side effects to correctly prescribed drugs, or people taking drugs that shouldn't have been prescribed for them.
Yeah.
200,000 people a year in America, roughly. Now, can we even trust those statistics? Because I don't think we can. Because, over the last 30, 40 years in America, you have the VAR system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Recording System, which between 2006, 2009, Harvard was able to show was only recording 1% adverse events. And that was to the standard vaccines before. And they already know that the number of deaths and the number of adverse events has been greater in the last year and a half than all the previous years combined. I know. And even if we're generous to them and we say, okay, let's say it isn't recording 1%. Let's say it's recording 10%. Well, you're talking well over 300,000 deaths and probably over 10 million side effects. You know, the ONS have just admitted that their way of counting COVID deaths was wrong. So we can't even trust any of the statistics we're given. Yet, if you go, and that's the challenge we have. When you go to your doctors and you present evidence to them and they disparage the evidence, well, rightly so, because the evidence is heavily laden towards their narrative. To overcount the number of COVID deaths and to under-record the number of people who died from the side effects of the vaccines and whatever, whatever goes with it. But I suppose one of the things we really need to talk about is to say, ideally, it all starts by looking at the way you live. So look at the water you're drinking. Look at the food you're eating. Now, I'm not, I have a sweet tooth, so yeah, occasionally I'll have my milk chocolate. I like my alcohol, you know, so the weekend I'll drink my alcohol. But the rest of the time, I eat really healthy and I supplement really well. Now, not everyone would want to spend the amount of money I spent in supplements. It has worked for me and my fiance for the last 2.5, 3 years. We did not get sick at all. So there must be something in it that's working. And I always believed in that and it has worked for me. So we always start with the simple things. Vitamin D. From the very, very early stages of the pandemic,
yeah.
we showed demonstrably the vitamin D played a crucial role in immune health. And people who have very high levels of body fat, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin, they end up storing the vitamin D in their fat cells, but it doesn't get to the rest of the cells in the body. That's one of the reasons why their immune system gets compromised. They showed that, obviously, dark-skinned people, so a lot of the nurses doctors who started dying quite early in the COVID, well, they only produced 10% of the vitamin D that a white person would, because they're used to being in a climate where they're exposed to sun all the time. And that's why they build up high levels of melanin to protect them against the sunshine. But it also, because they're getting so much sunshine, they're getting loads of vitamin D. What do you call the guy who led the Brexit? Davis. You know, the guy who led the Brexit talks, and then he left the government. David Davis, is it?
Lord, what's his name? Yeah, someone tell us. The guy who led the Brexit negotiations, and he eventually got sick of it.
He had a chemistry degree, and he actually said quite early on that vitamin D played a crucial role. Now, part of the problem we have there is that vitamin D, for example, the RDA for vitamin D is 400 IUs. That's to say all you need to take is 400 IUs of vitamin D a day. Now, if you go out with your Speedos on in the summer between the hours of 11 and 1 for half an hour, you'll make 20,000 IUs of vitamin D, not 400. Now, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin, it takes 36 hours to absorb. So if you come back in and you go into the shower, put on the shower gel full of toxins, it's a fat emulsifier, it washes off all your vitamin D. So all the vitamin D that you made, you've lost because you've washed it off with your soaps.
Right.
So, you know, I usually recommend around 4,000 to 5,000 IUs of vitamin D daily. Make sure you take magnesium to be absorbed and utilized properly, and vitamin K too. You know, zinc, so 30% of the world's population is zinc deficiency. And one of the signs of zinc deficiency is you lose your sense of smell and taste. But zinc plays a crucial role in blocking. Zinc plays a crucial role in blocking your ACE2 receptor sites where the spike proteins are binding on. So that's why zinc's really important for your immune health and obviously for skin health and you know, other processes that occur in the liver. Taking things, you know, we knew that they repurposed certain drugs, which were highly effective against the COVID. And again, that was brushed aside as being false science, even though there's 100 papers on ivermectin, I think over 250 papers now, many of which are peer-reviewed, showing them hydroxychloroquine could have reduced mortality, morbidity by 80%. Personally, myself, I've taken ivermectin twice a month for the last 2 years.
I know you have,
And that's definitely helped. I take my omega-3s. Another one that's really important is N-acetylcysteine.
Yes,
which,
okay.
The FDA tried to ban N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine is a precursor to glutathione, which is the master antioxidant in the liver. Children produce high levels of glutathione. That's why children under the age of 18 rarely got any serious COVID symptoms unless they have pre-existing morbidities, pre-existing conditions. But they want to ban NAC because it's so effective at supporting your detoxification processes. So personally, I now take glutathione. I take some NAC as well. And that's just, you know, some of the basics that I take. Obviously, there's this whole idea of long COVID.
I don't believe in it. Don't accept it. No.
Okay. So in the old days we used to call it post-viral fatigue syndrome. And that's what it is. You know, some people will get a virus, and if the virus affects their mitochondria, the little energy factories in their cells, they can start to produce very low levels of energy.
Yeah.
One of the most important antioxidants that you can take, which is about 4 or 5 times 100 the vitamin C, is melatonin. So 1 to 2 milligrams of melatonin a day helps protect your mitochondria against that.
Yeah.
So, and it's the inflammation as well. So again, it comes back to using things like curcumin, which is polyphenol from turmeric, using your fish oils to reduce inflammation. So some people will have post-viral fatigue syndrome. A lot of the side effects in terms of energy from the mRNA vaccines is from the same idea that it affects the mitochondria. And, you know, there's a lot of mitochondrial support nutrients. You know, you've got PQQ, pyroquinone, I think it is. There's coenzyme Q10, alpha-lipoic acid, carnitine, B vitamin complex, magnesium, zinc, copper. These all play an important role in generating energy within our cells. And you have to be, if you are struggling with fatigue after the virus, or fatigue after any virus, after the vaccine, these are things that you should be looking at.
Yep.
But we still don't know exactly we still don't know exactly the long-term side effects. You know, how long, you know, this, some of the leading alternative authorities, and they say, well, you know, for 3 or 4 days after you get your mRNA shot, you're actually shedding mRNA nanoparticles. Some people then say you're also shedding, for a longer time after that, you're then shedding your spike proteins.
Yes, I agree.
So one of the things that you, one of the things you can do if there's high levels of inflammation, if there's high levels of spike proteins circulating through your system, is to look into the process of fasting or intermittent fasting. Because when you go into a fasted state, instead of your body spending all of its time delivering all its energy into digesting food, it then starts to break down excess proteins, damaged cells in our body, and recycling what it can and getting rid of whatever waste.
Yeah.
So fasting plays a really important role in helping people to get over this. There are enzymes that we take. Enzymes are proteins that speed up metabolic reactions. We have digestive enzymes to speed up the digestion of our food. So some of us, as we get older, we have less digestive enzymes as we get older. So that's where our digestion starts to get weaker and more compromised. But there are special types of enzymes called proteolytic enzymes and proteases. And when you take those between meals, they will act like little Pac-Man running around your arteries, and they will gobble up the spike proteins. So there are lots of things that we can do to support people either post, if they actually had COVID or flu or whatever, or especially after they've had the mRNA jams, to help facilitate removing some of these spike proteins. We, as a lot of the people involved have went into this, have said, well, we're finding this magnetizing compound called graphene oxide or graphene hydroxide. And under certain circumstances, when they visualize it under a microscope, they can actually see this, these nanoparticles organizing into weird, bizarre structures. There, I'm sure you've seen the picture. Someone's had the mRNA shot and been able to put it. So there's a magnetizing effect. When you have those sorts of things like graphene hydroxide, graphene oxide in your body, you want to use certain chelating nutrients, things like cilantro, which is coriander. It's very good for chelating heavy metals. You have the likes of fulvic acid and humic acid, which are negatively charged, and they act like antioxidants, but they will neutralize a lot of these magnetized substances as well. You have that.
Don't know what's happened there. Temporary technical problems. Can I just check if everyone can still hear me and see me? Can you click? Just let me know everything's okay, because David's temporarily frozen here on me. So if you can just let me know if everything is okay, because yes, Jed's saying all good. So it must be at David's end. So maybe David will come out of the studio and go back in. He's frozen at the moment. So hopefully David will come back in. Just actually, whilst we sort this situation out, and hopefully David will come back. Just to say that, you know, I see a lot of your comments here. I actually had Dr. I don't know. I'm sure you saw it last Monday night. I had the surgeon, Dr. Malik, on with me, and he was saying it's pretty much what David has been saying, that he recommends a lot of the similar things, you know, the idea of fasting and whatnot. Here's David, hopefully back with us. So hello David, you're back. It was Lord Frost was the guy you were chatting about earlier, right, Jed? We'll take that off the screen now. We're not,
I actually think it was also, I think it was David Davis, who was one of the Brexit negotiators, who had a
kid as well. Yeah.
It was him that brought it up. And Hancock, he challenged Hancock about it. And he said, oh, yeah, we did some looking into the studies, and, he lied like he did about everything.
Yeah.
You know, between midazolam and everything else. So, yeah. So they knew from quite a long time, the vitamin D is crucial in immune health. It also, affects 10% of the genes in your body. So people who are low in vitamin D are more likely to get cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, and dementia.
Yeah. Now, here's the point I wanted, because you and I talked about this, and I see John Spence has brought it up on one of the streams here. He says awful is one type of food that does amazing things to the body. And I remember the last time you and I met up for lunch, I think it was, you were talking to me about the I think you called them the brain foods or stuff like that. Just for everyone's benefit, just go through that, please, David, briefly.
I think, there, obviously, you've seen over the last number of years, there's been a big push towards plant-based food.
Yeah.
You know, yet they want to say, plant-based burgers and plant-based chicken. And, you know, hold on a second. If I want chicken, I'll eat chicken. I don't eat some chemically synthesized piece of crap that's pretending to be chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what were we going to say, talk about there?
Yeah, no, the brain food.
So... One of the authors or podcast spaces I follow a lot will be Ivor Cummings, the Fat Emperor. You learn so much in his podcast, and he did a great podcast with a young guy, Dr. I think it's Mark Sardino or something, who was really into talking about organ foods. He said when you talk about kale and spinach are superfoods, and you know goji berries are superfood. He says there is no more superfoods than organs, brain, heart, liver, kidneys, adrenals. He said the amount of nutrients, amino acids, polypeptides in those foods, they are so nutrient dense and you can hardly get them anymore.
That's right.
I remember growing up, my dad's favorite would have been liver. And I liver. Wasn't a fan of liver as a child. My mum used to make steak and kidney pie. I love kidneys. But they're very hard to get these days.
Mm.
So those are your superfoods. Those are the ones that have more bang for the buck than anything else. And that's what we trying to get back to. And if, you know, they talk, some of these guys talk about from mouth to tail, you know, that you should eat, you know, when you see a wild animal, it doesn't come along just eat the leg. It eats everything. And its favorite part is always the internal organs. Mm. You know, if you look at some of these ancient tribes, you know, like the Inuits, you know, you kill your first seal or whatever, and you eat the raw heart. And wasn't really symbolic, but it was actually because there's so much nutrition built into these things.
Sorry, there's an interesting thing. Donnie Girl, all the way from Hawaii, is saying she takes grass-fed beef liver capsules. I've never heard of that before, David. Have you heard of...
Because as a bodybuilder in the old days, before we had protein shakes, I used to whiff down tons of desiccated liver tablets. Even used to eat orchic.
Right.
Which is... you know what orchic is?
No.
Bull's testicles.
All right.
Bull's testicle tablets. We used to, that would have been our protein sources. We used to eat loads of brewer's yeast tablets. They were stinking. Now, there's a company based in New Zealand that Ivor Cummins has worked with, and they actually do a special, I can't remember the name of the company. They do like a special organ supplement, which has about, and because it's all made from grass-fed New Zealand sheep, it's all organic, and it's really nutrient-dense. And he, Ivor, would be a big proponent of that. And obviously, I suppose in the Irish culture, we would have eaten black pudding and white pudding.
Yeah, we did.
And you know, in Scotland, they would have eaten the haggis. You know, certainly, I don't think I could sit down and eat some of things like tripe. Just the look of it puts me off. Even if it tasted nice, I don't think I could eat it.
Yeah,
I could probably try liver again. I could probably try heart, and I could probably do kidneys again. I'm not sure. Mm. I'm sure. Ask old Hannibal Lecter. I'm sure, but a brain does no harm.
Well, I see your friend Dawn here says that she got her those supplements were from New Zealand, David, as you rightly point out, ancestral supplements. I mean, this is the thing though. You said it to me before. How things have changed from the Victorian times to now. And not really for the better. It may be more convenient. I've got to tell you that, I mean, this was just something that happened to me last night. On my flight back home from Birmingham to Belfast, I got on the sort of the jet, and obviously I was on my own. So this woman and her three kids comes on. She gets on the bloody plane, sits beside me, and what does she have? A Burger King double Whopper burger. And I'm looking at it, the smell was disgusting. B, I'm looking at that synthesized meat, and I'm thinking that, I mean, it's not her fault, but that's something, sums up all that's wrong. Wrong diet, wrong food, everything, as you say, you're putting in here determines everything about you. And yet, I think she's, I know there's a lot of people do that, David, like, you know, burger. Yeah, well, McDonald's did very well during the lockdown.
Well, you know, I just get frustrated, you know, you see the queues lining up at the McDonald's, and I'm thinking, why would you want to go and buy that crap? It tastes of nothing, you know, it's not fit to put on your sole of your shoes with the meats that come. Sure, look at what do you call him, the chef who went and he looked into what they were doing to McDonald's food, Jamie Oliver. And like, he showed up all the rubbish that was it. What about the guy who at McDonald's supersized me for 30 days and then nearly ended up with liver cancer?
That's right. Yeah.
The old saying, you are what you eat. You know, it's pretty much true. It's a matter of, you know, your genetics. It's a matter of your diet intake. It's a matter of the load of toxins that your body's exposed to. We all have to start thinking more and more about, you know, even when we're brushing our teeth, you know, I've actually just recently started buying fluoride-free toothpaste.
Yeah.
So just thought, I want to try and reduce as many of these things that I know that I can reduce in terms of toxicity in my body. Just do well so that it'll allow me on a Saturday night to sit there and drink a bottle.
Yeah. But I definitely think, I mean, I see all this, so many comments coming in here. Biotech Babe says, yeah, fast food is so bad for you. Yep, but that's why they promoted it during the COVID scam. I'm afraid it was promoted. Jason O'Brien says he gets fluoride-free toothpaste. Iber says, start growing food, people, as the food chain will be polluted. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, agree with that. In fact, actually, FYI, I just understand, I was told the other day that the new season seed potatoes are now in. So if people want to go out and, you know, do all that, I think again, this has been a good side effect.
Remember, if you eat too many eggs, it'll kill you.
Yeah, eggs are lethal, apparently. Yeah, yeah, eggs are lethal. That's for true. You. I eat
3 or 4 every day. Have done for years.
I love eggs. I love them. I've always loved eggs. You know, but again, it's just another attack. I mean, it's like Republican Rocker says, we exist in a chemical war filled with modern reality. You're dead right. We are. You know, we've been taken away from the healthy stuff David talks about, and too many people, like, you know, like lambs to the slaughter, are eating all this bad junk food. And
did you see another farm in a chicken or a hen, a chicken lane or egg farm over?
One of the biggest ones. Yeah, burnt down mysteriously, a bit like died.
How many of these food plants have mysteriously all went up in flames, or planes have flown into them, or trains have driven into them, or lorries have driven into them?
Yeah,
you know, again, it's coincidence versus causality. While good old immunologist and food nutrition specialist Bill Gates tells us eggs are bad for us because of cholesterol.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest con ever, the cholesterol con. They made a fortune out of drugs to do it. This idea that cholesterol in your diet puts your cholesterol up. Your liver makes 7 times more cholesterol than all the cholesterol you will get from the food you eat. What will drive your cholesterol up to high levels is a diet rich in processed sugars and a diet rich in seed oils and margarines. That pushes your cholesterol levels up, not the other way about. Eat your eggs and enjoy. Try and get them organic. Go to your local farmer and
yeah,
where you get the hay and roundabout.
That's what I was going to say. One of the best things we're starting to do, I think, is, as you said it much earlier on, if we can go to the local farmers and such like and get the products direct from them before they even go near the big supermarket chains and stuff, you're getting the product, you're getting the better product, you're getting, you know, a fresher product, a healthier product, and you're supporting your own local economy, you know. So I think, again, that's
Most of the local farmers who are doing like organic, they can see it for what it is. They know what chemicals are spread. You know, like if you have cattle grazing on grass, the amount of omega-3s that they have in is far in excess of what you'll find in farmed salmon. When they bring those cattle into the winter to fatten them up, and they swap them over to these meals to fatten them up, it goes from an omega-3 rich food source to a food sources high in omega-6, so suddenly your cattle become pro-inflammatory.
This
is what causes some of the issues, supposedly, with bowel cancer and whatever. Although there's a lot of dubious science behind that. It's interesting, you know, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the people, Blackstone and Vanguard, that own everything. They own the food industry that makes us sick. They own the pharma industry that gives you the cure
to the sickness.
And they have so much business, because in the food industry, you go in, you can buy 24 packs of 24 tins of Coca-Cola for a fiver. You can buy 24 packets of crisps for £3. But if you go and try and buy an apple, it's nearly a quid for a bloody apple.
Yeah, yeah. Biotech Babe says, I've got a great water filtration system, Alexa pure water, no chlorine, no fluoride. I get fresh eggs from friends' chickens, beautiful yolks. Some great comments here. I saw, who was it said this here just there a minute ago? Yeah, Kim, our friend Kim Erswell, says there was in that fire, 100,000 chickens were burnt alive. Like, these people are cruel monsters, because, you know, I think that's appalling. I mean, but then, of course, these are the same people who gave us avian flu. Oh, yeah, avian flu. Every bit as plausible as COVID-19. We'll not get into that now. But, they want to basically, David, destroy the healthy sources of nutrition we can get so they can serve us all this just crap. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, and it even, you know, but the ironic thing, this whole idea of these plant-based diets, it all goes back to 200 years ago, to the Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. You see, the Seventh-day Adventists didn't want men eating meat because they thought it made them too horny and would want to go and masturbate.
Right, right.
And guess who was the Seventh-day Adventist? Kellogg, who set up Kellogg's.
Oh, he was. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So right. the second largest food producer in Australia, is owned by the Seventh-day Adventists, and they have charity status, and all the profits they take, they recycle that to go into the universities and brainwash the kids in universities to think that a plant-based diet that's high in carbohydrate, which we know causes hyperinsulinemia and inflammation, is the way to go. They are the ones that are behind, or part of the ones that is behind promoting, you know, you go into Tesco's now and you've got a section now with plant-based bacon and plant-based sausages and plant-based chicken. And you're like, and you look at it. And there was one I remember going in, somebody put up a picture of this one. It was some sort of plant-based sausage and it looked like a shriveled up penis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely disgusting. And you just think, and it also shows that if you look at people who are lifelong, unless they're really good vegans, most of them, if they bring their children up as vegans, those children will end up with height deficiencies, they'll end up with deficiencies in IQ, because they cannot get all the nutrients that they need. You know, they're not getting all the amino acids, they're not getting all the essential fatty acids, they're not getting certain B vitamins. So I'm a great advocate for increasing the amount of, you know, fruits and vegetables in our diet to feed our microbiome, which keeps us healthy.
Yeah. Good,
but I will always be a meat eater. I love my meat. I love my eggs. I love my chicken. I love my fish. I love my steak.
Yeah.
And if we can get hold of some of these organ foods, I will be starting to learn how to cook with them again.
Right. Well, David, we've come to the end of our time, but I'm sure a lot of people on the different streams may want to find out more about you know, how they can learn more information from you and how you might be able to help them. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Okay, well, they can go onto Facebook to my page, The Healthy Gut Guru, or they can find me on Facebook under my, I tend to use my main account because it's just handier. So it's David, D-A-V-I-D, McCollum. You'll see a picture of it and my beautiful fiance in the background, who makes me look very unattractive by comparison. So in black
rose,
and white.
A rose beside a thorn.
You know, absolutely. Well, you know how prickly I can get.
I know it. Yeah. So look, folks, I mean, David and I've told him this. I have been consistent. I've told him that I think it's David and people like David that represent the best way that all of us can individually try to manage your health better and lead just good lives. And clearly from the comments here, a lot of you folks are already going down that road gone down it. And others are like myself are on a journey down that road. But I don't think you can go better than listening to David. So David, thank you very much for taking the time to spend it with us. And certainly as I go through 2023, I think this issue that we've just talked about is a crucial one. And I'd like you to come back and discuss some maybe other aspects. Final thing, just before we go, this is an outrageous plug, but hey, it's my channel. I can plug. If I want to plug myself, I will. Just to bring up on the new shop that we've got on our shop for the fashionable person, you can get all your davidvance.net, I will not submit, I will not comply, all the stuff. It's all available. Look at all this in the black and white options, all kinds of stuff over there. And you can get your mug, you get your water bottle for all your healthy dechlorinated water. Oh, even some for the kids. So look, it's all over there. I am on Rumble as well, by the way, guys. So you can get the stream over there. Look, that's enough. That's enough shameless plugging. I wonder, I don't know if we can we bring up David's, before I go, it'd be nice if we could bring up David's Facebook page, just to, so David, if we can just give Jed a second to see if he can get that or not. If he can't, I'm sure we can, if he's able to do it, I can usually see what he's doing here. But yeah, David, I do think this is going to be a theme for 2023. We've kind of moved on. I think they've basically bust themselves over COVID. I think it's done, or you know, monkeypox was the last desperate throw, and we laughed at that, and we're laughing at them now. So, but not
well, the thing is, David, they knew from the beginning that there's a few things go on. There's post-vaccine virus.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
You know that when you put in certain vaccines, it's going to cause an exacerbated or accentuated cytokine storm. Thank you very much, Ed.
So there you go. Visit. That's on Facebook, folks. So there, that's where you find David, and you can make contact directly with David. If there's any issues, I'm sure, David, people want to raise and you may be able to help them, then this is the place to go. And you can get lots of information. David, I have to say, the last couple of years, as I say, no bull, I've learned more from you than I have from speaking to the so-called experts over a lifetime. And I'm sure, other people will find you to be a great source of inspiration.
I appreciate that. It's lovely to help people, and it's lovely to educate people. That's my motto has always been prevention before intervention. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Stay healthy so that you don't get sick. That's the key. The last place you want to end up at the moment is in hospital. And 100%. especially now, say you do end up in going into hospital with trauma, what's going to happen to you if you need a blood transfusion?
Oh, listen, we had a big discussion about that the other night. We maybe save that one for another time, or maybe we'll save
that really scares me. And I think maybe a number of us should start getting together to set up our own individualized blood bank for pure bloods.
Yeah, well,
That for me is one of the most worrying things. If you
because
end up,
they get because they get you that way. You've gone through the last couple of years, refused all their jobs, stayed pure, and then, you, as you say, a traumatic a car accident, something like that, go into a hospital. You need a blood transfusion. Bang! And we know the evidence is there that when you get because you're going to get most likely vaccinated blood. There's no way they have of filtering it. Then does that mean that you've done it all for nothing? So, but as for another stream, not for another stream, not for now. We can further discuss this, David, when we meet for lunch on Friday. So looking forward to that. But again, big thanks to you, David, for taking the time. Thank you, everybody, on the different streams. I see you all. I think we had a bit of a hiccup at the beginning with Getter, but that seemed to come right. So thanks again on the Getters, the Twitters, the YouTubes, all the rest of it. Thanks for being here. And I shall return. I think we're going to be doing a live stream tomorrow night, actually, with Alana Mercer, by the way. So look out for that one. And then Jed and I will be back on Wednesday. And we've now started doing the Twitter Spaces. So there's so much conversations to go on, David. So much stuff that we're putting out there as best we can. Jason O'Brien says, final comment, hospitals are dangerous. Amen, brother. And that's 100% behind you in that one there. Right, we have to wrap it. Thanks, everybody. That's it from us, from David and the two Davids. Good night.
Good night.